Andy, you're not going to sit through the sermon again, are you? Oh, gee. I wouldn't do that. About 11 years ago, our oldest son, Wes, and his wife, Natalie, had come down to visit us. They got in late at night, and so we didn't actually see them until the next morning. About 7 in the morning, we were up, and they came out and said, "We got great news, we got great news, we're going to have a baby," you know, so excited. And so we all, you know, excited around, and then Natalie said, "Do you think I should call my parents now?" And we said, "Oh yeah, they would love to hear it, that'd be great." Except, of course, her parents live in San Francisco. So at 4 a.m., they found out they're going to be grandparents. And one of the first things we did for Wes and Natalie, one of the first gifts we gave them, was the money to pay for a year's premium on life insurance for them. Not for the baby. The baby didn't need it, but for them. Because we recognized that with the responsibility of having a child came a responsibility for caring for them, and death can happen. And so we gave them life insurance. During Lent, we are wrestling. Wrestling with God. Wrestling with who we are as human beings. Wrestling with some of the great issues of our lives. And we have to wrestle with our mortality. With the fact that if we're born, we also will die. That we are limited in this earthly life, and that we need to deal with that. We have to wrestle with it. And as Christians, we should be uniquely well-placed to do that, because in the creed that we shared this morning, we talk about death and being buried, and then resurrection. We worship a God who in Jesus has been born into our lives, lived as we live, died, and was buried, and then has returned to us to affirm for us that death is not the end of our relationship with God. So we should be able to talk about death, to deal with our mortality. But it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. Woody Allen was once said that he wanted to achieve immortality by not dying. And I can appreciate that. I've always resented the fact that everybody dies. I like to think that I can usually find a way around most things. That I'm smart enough to figure out another way to do it. And so far I haven't figured out the way to get around dying. It seems to happen to everybody sooner or later. People say, "Well, what's the mortality rate, you know, in this area?" Say, "Well, it's 100%. And we have to live with the fact that we will die. And it is so hard to do. We struggle with that. We go into denial. We do all the things that human beings do when they're faced with the possibility of death. The ancient Roman Stoics said, "I will not be afraid of that which is inevitable." And I like that. I will not be afraid of that which is inevitable. So my death is inevitable. How and when is not. And that's why I recommend to all of you that you wear your seatbelts. I've been on the scene at several accidents where people were coughing and hacking from the seatbelts that had gone off, but that's a lot better than not doing any coughing and hacking. Quit smoking, get your drinking under control, get your weight under control, and exercise more than you do. You know, good common sense things that it's hard to do. Jesus was in the prime of his life. He's in his mid-30s, he's in the middle of his ministry, he's just got this incredible impact in his ministry, and then he drops a bombshell on his friends and followers: "I'm going to die." And they can't believe it, they can't deal with it. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus has explained to them, no, I am going to die. And here's what he says to them following that. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. These are words in the New Testament. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we talk about a last will and testament. It's a statement of our beliefs. I believe in these values and in passing along my values, my money, my beliefs, my hopes to those who come after me, to those I leave behind. This Tuesday at 6:30, we are repeating something we did a couple of years ago that was, I think, very helpful to a lot of people, and I encourage you to come. I was talking with Amy Nowell, who is now doing our communications in the church, and I said, I want to be sure that everybody knows that this workshop called Your Life, Your Choices is really something everybody should come to. And she emailed back to me, said, well, who's the audience? Who's the market for this? I said, well, anybody that's going to die. And we don't like to admit, but you know, that's most of you. Some of you look like maybe you've already passed that point. I don't know. You know, wake up. The first time I ever flew to Israel, I sat on the plane next to an 89-year-old lady from another church, and I was sure halfway through the first half of the flight she was already dead. She just finally said a few words to me, but I was never sure. But I encourage you to come to this workshop Tuesday at 6:30. You don't need any reservations. You do if you come to dinner. But if you don't come, still think about these things. Talk about these things. We're not selling anything. What we want to do is get you to thinking and talking with your family and your loved ones. We're going to have with us an attorney. Hey, some of you live in other states, but maybe you've got something here. Do you need a will in Maine and in Florida? You know, how do I do what I want to do legally? So an attorney to talk briefly about some of the issues that you may need to deal with. We're having a doctor from a hospice program here to talk about some of the ways that medically some of the things we have to deal with at the end of life. We're going to have a funeral home director here. You know, people need to be talking about funerals. You know, do I want to be buried? Do I want to have a cremation? What do I want? And does my family know what I want? And how much will it cost? You know, it's a lot easier to comparison shop now. And sadly, I've been with families in the middle of the night after somebody's been terminally ill for a year, asking, well, how much will it cost? You know, it's not the best time. And then choose a cheaper method and go take a cruise instead. You know, whatever. Or maybe you want your ashes scattered at sea. I've done that for people, you know. But talk about those. Think about those things. And then we'll have someone from our Florida United Methodist Foundation to talk about, you know, charitable gift planning. I mean, everybody here owns something. And what do you want done with it? You know, is it all going to your great nephew who's going to buy a new Corvette with it? What are you going to do with it? How do you pass your values along with your money? And your money's going to somebody. Governor Scott will be very grateful. If you don't plan, there's a plan for you. So how do you think through these issues? And each of these four representatives will talk for maybe 5-10 minutes, and then there'll be time for question and answer, and that's it. We're not selling anything. We're not, you know, giving out free samples or anything. But we, like, what did he say? But we need to be. Is the sound system not working well up here? Is that right? We need to talk about these things. Your family needs to know what your wishes are. I had a great conversation with my parents 5-6 years ago. I was in North Carolina with them. My sister lives with them, the three of them. We got to talking about, you know, funerals and what I, since I deal with this, I said, okay, let's talk about these things. And do you want to be buried? I mean, they were approaching 90. You know, what are your plans? What do you want? So we get talking, my mother said, well, you know, I'd really want to be buried instead of being cremated. And we talked and da-da-da-da-da-da. After about an hour-long conversation, we'd agreed on cremation for the whole family. Saved thousands of dollars and didn't make really much difference in the long run, you know, for us. So we agreed on that. Direct cremation. About a month later, my dad called and said, well, we bought the burial plots and we've ordered the marble headstone and sat down with, you know, we bought the whole $10,000 package. And I said, okay, great. You know, but we had the conversation. They made a decision, then changed their minds, but that's okay. We had the talk, and everybody knew what everybody wanted. And that is so helpful. So, you know, talk to your family. And if you don't have family, and what is it, 1 in 7 people in Florida don't have relatives, heirs. Talk with somebody. I had a sad situation a number of years ago. I had a lady who was very faithful to our church. She was just a wonderful lady. She had a stroke and was unconscious, had no relatives. And we illegally searched her apartment like crazy, looking to see if she had left healthcare surrogate papers for anybody to be able to say for her that she wanted and could pay for a private duty nurse. Couldn't find anything. So somebody needs to be able to speak for you. There are papers like healthcare surrogates, living wills, that are really important. They really need to be dealt with, and ignoring them doesn't make it better. As Christians, we can say, hey, I'm going to die someday. So did Jesus. It's okay. He was all right. I'll be all right. It's hard to do, really, really hard to do. We do deny, you know, death. I know intellectually I'm going to die someday, but it really hasn't quite sunk in. I do have an ambition. I have the same ambition as the man who said that he wanted to die at the age of 99, shot by a jealous husband. Joy, are you here? Your husband's 99, and I don't want to, you know, nothing personal here. Don't get worried, Joy. Is she here? Oh, well, never mind. Bob Schaefer, who's 99, didn't come to my lecture last week because he used to be dean at Indiana and was watching their basketball game instead of coming here. At least that's what he told his wife, so I don't know. sound system's working over there, isn't it? Okay, all right. We can laugh about death because we don't have to be afraid of it. Now, I don't like the idea of dying. I'd rather find another way of doing things, but, you know, I can't. But Jesus says to his followers, peace I leave with you. It will be okay. It'll be okay. Yes, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to die in a rather difficult way. I'm going to be buried. But it'll be okay. Trust me on this, he says. And we're here as Christians because we see it was okay. It was all right. I can't be a whole lot more specific about what happens after death. You know, I haven't been there. But I trust it'll be okay. But dealing with death is so difficult. We go through all kinds of issues with it. Grief is a complicated process that hits us all in so many ways. We deny that it's happening. We get depressed. We get really sad. Then we get angry. We bargain about it. You've heard these different stages of grief. The first time I ever went through grief was when I sold my first car. It's true. You know, any kind of loss can trigger grief. I'm feeling some grief in retiring and leaving you. You're feeling, hopefully, some of that. But when I sold my first car, I sold it to a friend who desperately needed a car. They were moving out to California, and they had a lot of problems and needed the car. So at first I said, no, I'm not going to sell you the car. And then I said, yes, I will. And then I took it back and said, no, I've changed mine, and I'm not going to. You know? And then I said, okay, I will sell it to you, but only in the condition you let me come over before you move to California the next few months and change the oil for you. You know, just kind of bargaining that. And finally, I was able to let it go. But that's been 40 years ago, and I still have fantasies of going out to California and seeing if I can research that car and see if it's still on the road somewhere. You know? We have these grief feelings that we go through. Becky and I were talking when we moved here 34 years ago. I was thrilled to be moving from my church in Jacksonville and excited about coming here, and it still was difficult. Decisions to be made, connections that are lost, it was difficult and stressful. And all of these things go through us when we're losing someone we love, when we're dealing with our own mortality. It's just really, really hard. It's a part of living. Dealing with our dying, dealing with the loss of ones we love, is a part of life. We can't avoid it. We can't get around it. We can, however, trust that the God who gives us life, in the end, can say to us, it'll be okay. My peace I leave with you. Not the way the world gives it to you, but my peace can be with you. It will be all right. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. So talk to your family. Talk to the people you can trust, you know, about your death. Talking about it will not make it happen sooner. I promise you. In fact, there's some evidence that the more you can deal with it and process it, you actually can be happier and more content and live a little longer. You know, it's something you don't have to worry about. When we first had children, Becky and I made wills, and that's been, you know, almost 40 years now. We didn't die sooner because we made wills. We modified them a time or two as conditions have changed. That's just, you know, it's just a smart thing to do. And it's one less thing to worry about. Just talk about it, deal with it, put it in the drawer, and you can forget about it. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." We wrestle as humans with our mortality. We don't like to. We don't want to, but we have to. Well, no, we don't have to wrestle with it. Some of us, you know, go to our graves in denial. Well, I'm fine. We're not fine. You know, I can look at you. You're getting older. Wait. Yes, you're getting older. And once in a while, I'll admit that I'm getting older. It's okay. It's all right. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." We're Christians. We're not afraid of death. We can talk about it. We can plan for it. We can enjoy this life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I am loving this life. I am enjoying working for God. I am enjoying this life. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Gets even better. So I'm happy in whatever state I am, there to be content. You and I can be happy with our lives. We can deal with the fact that we're going to die and then go on from there. Thank God. Pray with me. Oh God, we don't like to talk about death. We have trouble realizing that someday we won't be here. Give us the faith to deal with our living and our dying. Help us to look at the practicalities, the legalities, the finances, the emotional costs for ourselves and for those we love. Help us to pass on our values and our money and our memories to those around us. Most of us all, help us to not be afraid. Help us to claim this legacy that Jesus left us when he said, my peace I leave with you. Oh God, thank you for life that goes beyond death. Amen.